Hi everyone, and welcome to our first Blue Tree podcast. It's the 2nd of November, and I'm joined by Charlotte Tanner, the Blue Tree clinic manager and nutritionist. She's sitting with me at home. We're going to post a photo of that, just having some tea. And we've been asked by one of our clients to kindly comment on something that she wanted us to vlog on. But because we're both really tired tonight and the clocks have changed and it's horrible outside, we haven't been able to be energetic enough to do a vlog. I'm really sorry. So we're going to just do a podcast instead of setting up the camera, but we will do vlogs very, very soon, I promise. And let me introduce Charlotte. Say hi, Charlotte.
Hi, everyone.
So Charlotte, can you just read out what the request that Julia wanted us to talk about?
So Julia kindly asked for a vlog on the fundamental difference between medication-based therapy and a combination of medication and talking therapy, and what are the pros and cons for each, and does it differ in the choices that we offer to different clients?
Okay, so thanks for that question, Julia. That's a really good question, and thanks for responding on our page, our Facebook page. It'd be great if more people ask questions. We'll put that out there again. So to answer your question about medication, obviously we see patients all the time, and as you will know, I don't like to over-medicate patients, and I think that's why a lot of patients come to me, because they're sort of fed up of walking into a doctor's office and either their GP will just say, oh, I've got 10 minutes for you, here's citalopram, here's antidepressant, just start this and, you know, come back and let me know if you feel better in 3 months, and that's really useless. I think it's actually better to have longer with a doctor who understands you and can listen to you and refer you to the right therapy rather than just giving you a pill, right? So I'm totally against people being on medication they don't need, but I'm also extremely for patients being on medication when they do need it. So this is a long time debate, like I think you mentioned in your comment of, you know, lots of different opinions. So I always say to people, look, the attack psychiatry and psychiatrists saying, oh, you just medicate. Firstly, I don't just medicate. Maybe some people do. I listen and I wait to figure out what the best course of treatment will be for someone. And if they've been really ill for a long time, or if their symptoms are severe, either of those things, then I will consider medication. And I'll consider it because medication will potentially, the idea is, make you feel better. And then once you're feeling better, say you're suffering from depression, you're not going to work, then you might go to work because the pill is artificially, I agree, making you feel higher in mood, better in mood. Then you go back to work and your colleagues care about you and they're pleased to see you, and hopefully work is not too stressful. And then after work, you might go out and see a friend and slowly start feeling better, and then we can take the medication away once you're feeling better. Now, without that medication, you might have just stayed in bed because you're feeling terrible. So that's where I'm going to start the conversation, and I'm going to ask Charlotte what she thinks about medication, because she sees lots of patients for nutrition as well, and some of them, I guess, are on medication. And also, Charlotte, you know, do you have friends and family or that take medication, and what are your thoughts on it? Because you come from a different angle to me.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting debate, and one that generates a lot of stigma for people. Generally, if people are depressed and they have been prescribed medication, it can be quite hard for them to admit that they're on antidepressants or anti-anxiety tablets. The clients that I see, generally, they have found medication has not only, like Mark said, supported them through that tough time of allowing that medication to kick in so that they start to feel a little bit more human and start to feel a little bit able to cope with day-to-day life, and then as that medication starts to improve their sort of thought processes, that's when talking-based therapies I've seen my clients start to improve in terms of enabling them to deal with their own emotions and deal with their behaviors, so that, like Mark said, they can tailor off the medication when they feel strong enough. So it just definitely has place. Some of my concerns from some clients have been around side effects of medications. I don't know if you see a personalized approach in the medication that you give. Do you, Mark, normally prescribe certain drugs based on what side effects you think will be less effective?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I'm sure people want to know when they're thinking about medication. So how I go about it is I've sort of studied for many years and I look at all the research and I regularly review the research so that I know through a process of what we call CPD, continuing professional development, which we have to do, is mandatory. So even if I'm feeling really tired and lazy, I still have to do that kind of work. And I'll review the latest research showing which drugs are effective. I'll also read up on new drugs that are out in the market. So one at the moment that you might have seen Robbie Williams talking about, he's on a new antidepressant, and that's meant to be quite good as well. So I've read up on things like that. But to answer your question about side effects for each patient, then it depends. If you're not sleeping, I might give you an antidepressant. If we're just talking about depression, firstly, or anxiety, I might give you something to help you sleep. If you don't want to feel sedated and you're not having a problem with sleep, you know, you're sleeping all day, which is typical in what we call an atypical depression. I know that sounds confusing, but if you're sleeping more rather than being awake and unable to sleep, then I'm not going to give you something that's going to help you sleep, obviously, because you'll be drowsy. You know, if you're really concerned about sexual side effects because, you know, even though you're depressed, you're still having or trying to have a sexual relationship with your partner, or you feel that that's an important part of your life that you don't want to be affected by medication, then I'll try and tell you about the medications that don't have as much sexual side effects. Some people get really nauseous on certain medications because of their sensitivity of serotonin receptors in the gut, which you'll know more about, Charlotte, than I will, talking about the gut. But the side effects are often very transitory and very brief for the first week. So patients, I always warn them about that, and I might prescribe something else, ironically, so two drugs at once to help with those side effects in the first week. And then once they feel better, I will withdraw one of those drugs and just keep them on something, which can be really helpful for people who are suffering. But, you know, I'm predominantly now talking about antidepressants. There are lots of drugs for bipolar, for eating disorders, for all kinds of things. So it's hard to just concentrate on one set of drugs to talk about. And of course, I think what you're saying, or we're sort of hinting at, is in the future, there are going to be, and they're already, I think, are beginning to be available, genetic tests to show which patients will do better on some drugs rather than others, but it's in its infancy. So not many people are sort of able to access that to find out exactly which drugs may work better for you or which drugs won't work as well. So it is sort of trial and error at the moment. You know, why does citalopram work brilliantly for somebody and, you know, Prozac or fluoxetine doesn't? We don't exactly know why, but I do know which drugs to start people on, and if those don't work, I know which drugs to then put them on after that. And you know, I think if you're talking to your doctor every week, which most of our patients do email us and we have a good relationship with, we can track them and monitor them and get them on the best treatment available. You know, but I guess what I was wondering is, because we don't have anyone else here with us, you know, what are your personal experiences of antidepressants? You know, do you have friends, you know, obviously not mentioning any names, but do you have friends or family members that have tried them, and have you noticed that it helps? Because a lot of people say, oh, you know, that the psychiatry and drugs, you know, it just covers up the problem. It doesn't actually help people, which I'm always fighting against and saying that's absolutely not true.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we all know people that have suffered from depression or still suffer from depression. Personally, some friends and family have been on medication before, and the way that I like to look at it, which I hope having this conversation reduces the stigma as well, is that mental health should not be seen as any less of a sort of illness than a physical problem. And if we had severe backache or we had slipped a disc in our back, we wouldn't go without medication. So sometimes there's a time and place for having that help that's needed to cure the initial problem. It's not necessarily something for life, but there's definitely a time and place that's going to help that need. And I think the main sort of the plus point about private therapy, like Mark said, is that he can choose the right drug for you. He's not restricted into what he can offer in terms of his experience, or he can look for the best drug suitable for your range of sort of
Right, because on the NHS, they unfortunately do have budget restrictions and they may not sort of push the more expensive drugs towards you because they're just not on formulary or they're too expensive. So the GP doesn't want to prescribe them. But, you know, I think you should be able to be offered the best drug for you. So that is actually a good point as well. Sorry, carry on.
But in terms of family and friends, I mean, even when I was growing up, when I was a teenager, I suffer from depression at one stage or another. And I think a lot of people do when they're growing up or they have personal problems. It seems to be a part of life now. I'm not sure of the recent statistics, but I'm sure it must be lower than 1 in 5, maybe 1 in 3 people have been depressed in their lifetime. So it's something that I wish people would talk about more. And us as a clinic, we don't just deal with depression. We deal with a whole range of mental health illnesses. But taking tablets and medication is one part of therapy. It's not the total therapy. And us as a clinic, we do offer talking-based therapies as well. So things like your CBT type therapy, which tries to change your behaviors based on your thoughts. And that is an ongoing behavioral change in an individual. And that kind of therapy can be used in conjunction with medication, or it can be used in isolation. It's always client dependent, and once they've seen Mark and he's assessed your sort of situation, he'll be best placed to point you in the right direction to see whether you are suitable for talking based therapy or a combination of the both.
Yeah, and I guess the final point to make, because we don't want to bore everyone tonight about our chats about medication, but the questions I get asked every week is, you know, will I be able to come off this medication? And the answer is, you know, it depends on your condition. Depends, you know, if you get unwell again, then we'll put you back on it. And that's, there's no evidence to suggest that, you know, long-term or medium-term use of antidepressants, as we've been talking about antidepressants tonight, does cause any physical harm to your body. And if you need them, you need them. And if you've been very depressed, then most people we recommend stay on them for at least 6 months to a year. And if you get depressed again, then maybe longer than that. But, you know, if it's something like OCD and you're feeling better because you've had the underlying treatment from one of our great therapists, I always say like the medication, you know, it can help. It's sort of curative in certain things, for example, OCD. But, you know, if it's covering up a depressive illness because of life events, then the main cure would be seeing one of our therapists and getting your nutrition, which we can't emphasize enough, in line, because I think a lot of people are feeling sluggish and terrible because their diets are terrible these days. And I've experienced that myself. So I think I can say that that's definitely true, and something I never ever used to think about is diet, and it's so important. And I wish I was better at eating my salads, but that's what Charlotte can help me with. So I'm lucky to have her on the team. But yeah, look, anyone that's worried about starting a medication or listening to this and thinking, you know, if I go to the psychiatrist, he's going to put me on medication. One, I may not. And two, if I do, we monitor you. So, you know, lots of people, including people I know really well, have gone to their GP, been put on pills, and then just left on them, and that's it. And it's terrible, and it does cause side effects. So they put on weight, they lose weight, lots of different things happen, and they're not tracked. But we will email, we'll check on you, and we will help you come off the drugs, which is actually very easy to do if you do it in a controlled, slow manner. Otherwise, you get discontinuation syndrome, which you can all Google, and that feels horrible. And if we put you on too high a dose and we're not tracking you, if you're taking too much, you can get serotonin overdose, which can also make you feel terrible. So it's important to, you know, if you do start these drugs, to come in every few weeks, every few months, and see the doctor and see me and make sure that, you know, you're being treated properly. So we haven't really talked about antipsychotics, mood stabilizers, other types of medication. We've sort of mainly talked about antidepressants, but I think those are the ones that most people sort of are worried about, and they're the ones we most commonly use. I think if you do have a psychotic illness like bipolar or schizophrenia, or if you have an eating disorder, medication is more complicated, and we can talk about those another time if anyone wants us to. So yeah, keep sending us your questions. Hopefully this has answered some things about why we feel medication is helpful, and I guess we have both said tonight that we think it is helpful. I think both of us have discussed, you know, if we really needed it, we would take medication. I would want my doctor to monitor me, and I would want them to explain the side effects, which I always do. Thanks Julia for your question, and let's hope that anyone else listening to this might might write down their question, and we can do either a video blog or a podcast in the future. I'll just hand over to Charlotte to say goodbye as well.
Thanks, everyone. And just the lasting point, really, that although we've answered, we've done a bit of debate in terms of medication versus talking therapy, but we should really remember that everything is individualized and we can't make a blanket statement for everyone out there. That's why we like to see people on a one-to-one basis, so we can talk through your own personal concerns and then tailor what we think is best based on you coming to us, talking to us in full confidence. And we hope to be able to sort of reassure you at any time if you have any concerns about any medication, or if you are completely adamant you don't want medication, we'll help hopefully tailor it to what you need.
And you'd be able to help people that, because we see a lot of people with drug and alcohol addiction, you'd be able to advise them on, you know, what foods to take if they're, you know, an alcoholic and maybe they're not getting enough nutrients, or if they're a drug addict and they're not, you know, getting enough food, because often people that take drugs, you know, aren't looking after the nutrition properly. And are you also able to help people with their understanding of you know, what to do and how to manage if they are on antidepressants that are making them hungry, for example?
Yeah, there's a whole combination. I think the mind and the body is completely related, and how we eat affects our mood more than people believe. So it's all interrelated, and I don't think people realize that sometimes if we've been eating a very bad diet for a long time, we are actually depleting the body of nutrients. I wouldn't say we're insufficient, but sometimes if we're not getting all of the B vitamins or zinc or iron, it would generally make us feel more fatigued and lethargic. So that's something that I can discuss with my clients, whether it's to lose weight, to gain weight, or just to have a balanced, healthy diet.
And can you run tests to show what may help people in terms of their mental health? Because, you know, sometimes you're right, I can run blood tests, sure, but then I'm you know, I can't remember exactly all the vitamins and which you get from different foods, which is why I like to refer people to you to have that sort of review. And I guess that's something you can do.
Yeah, completely. We see a range of clients and we can run personalized tests to them, whether it's blood tests or nutrigenetic tests, if they wanted to get their full genetic test, stating sort of their preferred diet based on their genotype. But it's completely down to the client, and it's not just about eating salads. I know that's what people think in terms of nutrition, but it's about a balance and not having restrictions, and about enjoying what they eat, but also making sure that it's not going to affect them in terms of mood imbalances or depression or inability to sleep or to wake up or have any energy. But we can discuss that in more detail at another time.
Okay, so it's bye from me.
And it's bye from me.
We'll see you soon. Bye.